All right. Night five, y'all. Night five. Only one more night left. I'm like sad. Okay, real quick. I need your help. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to make this as orderly as possible, okay? I'm not going to take too long on this, but I'm going to popcorn. I'm going to have you help me. We're going to walk through the story and how it's been going all the way up until this point tonight, and then I'm going to dive in to the message tonight. So listen, no shouting out loud, no talking, just like things that have been going on thus far in this story. We'll take a really brief minute, just popcorn in your hand. What's been going on so far right there? Shh. Go ahead, buddy. Yeah, and that Saul's identity was wrapped up, right, in the kingdom, and yeah, he was bowed. Nice. What else, right? Shh, we want to hear, because we want to hear everybody, right? A little respect. Go ahead.
Yeah, talk about, like, sin and stuff.
Absolutely.
Also, to not care what other people think, and just to care what God thinks, because he knows that you're perfect.
Boom! If you can grab a hold of that one, I can go home right now. That's perfect. Yes, right there. The world is broken. We live in a broken world. Open your eyes. Just look out. Just go on the internet for 2 seconds, and you'll see right here, then right here. Go ahead.
How we, like, have titles and, like, we identify ourselves with those titles.
Boom. She said how we have titles, and we try to identify ourselves with our titles and what we do or how we can't. Yeah, that's good. I said, Roy, what did I say? Where was my friend right there?
You're born an original, so don't die a copy.
Oh, someone remembered a good one. You're born an original. Don't die a copy.
We're all unique.
Hold on. We're all unique. Let that one simmer for a minute. You're all unique. That's powerful. You don't have to clap. Yes.
Find your identity in Christ.
The simple one right there that is so profound. Right there, big guy. Yeah, even though our world is broken, God can heal us, make us perfect. Yes, forgive us. Yeah, good. We're going to talk about that even more tonight. Way to be ahead of the game. I like that. Go ahead.
God loves showing mercy,
grace, forgiveness. Yeah, I'm going to do a couple more because you guys are on fire. I love it. Yes. God gives you lots of chances. We're going to hit on that tonight too. I'm going to go left side because I've been on left side. Left side, strong side. Yes.
God died for you.
Shh. What?
God died for you. You should repay the favor.
Ooh, God died for you, gave his life for you, return the favor with your life, right? Okay, I love that. Yes, so patiently.
About how we make our culture or ourselves our king instead of God.
How we make our culture or ourselves our king instead of God. I love it. Back here in the left. Yeah, forget what society thinks and other people think, but we get it through God. You guys are saying a lot of the same things because we're hearing a lot of the good things. Awesome. And now we're going to jump in. So through this morning's skit and throughout the sermon tonight, we cover a lot of chapters. So I even went back and I've just been reading through them for tonight's message, reading through them. And I took a few notes because we're going to watch Saul, again, if you saw this morning, coming to the end of himself, kind of losing his mind. He's kind of taking all the focus off of the kingdom and he's going nutso after finding David. Now watch some of this. I'm going to walk you through some of this Saul in scripture. This is interesting. You go to chapter 19 and parts of this, promises Jonathan by an oath, Jonathan his son, that he will not lay a hand on David, okay? So he literally makes an oath, swears an oath, because his son Jonathan comes onto the scene and goes, Dad, what has David done? David's been honorable to you, been great to your name, went out and fought Goliath and killed him so that the Israelites could not be shamed, but that God's name would have glory. Like, what is it? He said, you're right, son. I'll make an oath with you right now. I will not touch David. Then you go on later and he goes in and Ahimelech ends up taking David and protecting him. We saw a little bit of that here. And after he's already sworn an oath saying, I won't touch David, he goes in, he starts killing people that have even helped David. He kills not only Ahimelech, but all the priests because they hid him. Matter of fact, 1 Samuel 23:14 says this, and Saul sought after him every day, but God did not give him into his hand. Every day he was being possessed by going after David, trying to kill him out of fear and out of insecurity. And now all of a sudden, right, every night we've been talking, all these things that Saul's been going through and all these things that we can somehow relate to in some ways in our own lives, right? And he's going after David through all these things coming to a head. He's going, I'm going to take this guy out because all these things are infiltrating my mind and I can't think straight. And you go over to the 24, it says, David spares his life. Has an opportunity. We saw some of that this morning. The play was pretty cool. Right? Remember right over here? Comes out, pops out from right here. Has the opportunity with, can kill him, but he doesn't. Says, I shouldn't touch God's anointed. And King Saul was still God's anointed, was still king. And he comes out and David says, listen, look, I could have killed you. I had you in my hand, but I let you go. And what's Saul do? Saul all of a sudden goes, oh my goodness, what am I doing? I'm paraphrasing, okay, but what am I doing? I'm sorry, you did, you spared me. I can't believe this. It's like he's going back and forth and back and forth. And then he spares him yet again. Continues to try to find David and kill him, and David spares him yet again. How many times can this happen? And then he again lies and promises to leave him alone. Matter of fact, in chapter 26, verse 21, it says, then Saul said, listen to what he says to David after going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Are you ready? He says, I have sinned. Come back, David, my son. What? Because you considered my life precious today. I will not try to harm you again. Surely I have acted like a fool and have been terribly wrong. And he let David go. I'm reading through this about Saul. It's like he's going crazy. He's going, I want to do it. I'll do what's right. No, I'm going to go after and kill you. Oh, you know what? This time you're right. I'm wrong. I want to do what's right. No, I'm going to go after and kill you. No, this time. And all of a sudden, I loved it how Amy this morning talked about how, like, this is where Saul gets a little crazy. It's like, I can't really relate to Saul anymore. Now he's getting out there. But as I'm reading this, all of a sudden, I'm praying. I'm thinking about it. I'm like, whoa, I can relate to Saul even more than I thought I could. How many times? I mean, I'm following Christ. I'm a believer. I love Jesus. And yet there's still sometimes things in my own life that I go out, I shouldn't do this. Oh, I didn't. No, God, forgive me. Maybe I shouldn't say that or think that, or I shouldn't look at that, or I shouldn't become. Oh, right? And like, God, I'll never do it. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh man, I can actually personally relate my life with Saul's more than I thought. Obviously, I'm not going and trying to kill somebody. But I do things that are disobedient to God at times in my life. And if we're all being honest, we can all probably admit that we've been there. Where everything in us is maybe want to try to do something right, but then we end up doing what's wrong. So I broke it down tonight. Three things that I really believe caused Saul to become who he was and act the way that he was. Some of these are, we've gotten into a little bit, but I'm gonna focus it tonight for some of us to really think about. If you want to write some notes, kind of this first one I'm throwing out there is this idea of sin and disobedience versus obedience and having a genuine fear of the Lord. Remember, I opened up talking about the fear of the Lord. I said I'd come back to it. When you have this fear of the Lord where God is everything, then you naturally want to obey what he says and what he has for you. And then you won't do the things that are causing us to break his heart and not to do things that he wants. And you can read in the scripture in Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When you can really begin to fear the Lord, you'll actually begin to have knowledge. And that verse is familiar to many of us, but it's not necessarily easy to understand. A lot of people, like myself included, we read those words and conclude that the fear of the Lord means being afraid of God. I mentioned that Monday. But fear of the Lord has nothing to do with being afraid of the Lord. It couldn't be further from the truth. So what does it mean to fear God? If you're taking notes, listen, I'm going to break this down. To put it simply, to fear God is to love him so much we are afraid to be away from him. Then in the morning when you wake up, it's like, good morning, God. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the breath in my lungs. What do you have for me today? Monday morning, I got school today. I'm going to have to go to school, take all my books. I'm going to have to learn. But is there something you have for me in the midst of all that? Is there someone in my school today that I might be able to reach out to or smile to or say hello to or befriend? That they could actually see the love of God inside us today, God? Lunchtime, getting ready to have lunch, right? Thank you, God, for lunch. I got a packed lunch from mom or dad or whoever packed my lunch today. And it's awesome because I got a little candy, I got a little sandwich, I got a little bag of chips, I got a little fruit juice. God, thank you that I got an amazing fruit juice. Wow. That we don't want to be away from, we want to be around him and talking to him and loving him. Or how about this? We love him and value his presence above all. Out of reverence for him, we choose to love what he loves and hate what he hates. We choose to love what he loves and hate what he hates. In the end, the fear of the Lord can be identified by one simple thing. Obedience. Doing what he says. Hearing his voice. Not just being hearers, but also being doers of the word. It's obedience. And people who fear God, they here's a couple little points, five little points here. They obey him instantly. People that fear God, they obey him instantly. Maybe you're heading out to lunch and you see that kid sitting by himself at lunch. And you see him there all the time, but this time you really feel led to go. Maybe you're supposed to go sit down next to him or her and say hello and invite him into your circle. And all of a sudden you feel the pressure of, oh man, what if my friends don't want me to do that? And they start making fun of me. And oh man, but when you fear the Lord, you obey immediately. You obey instantly. You say, you know what? I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to go and do that. It could be something way bigger than that. It could be something way smaller than that. God bless you. God bless everybody for the rest of the night. They obey him instantly. The next one, they obey him even if it doesn't make sense. They obey him even if it hurts. They obey him even if they don't see the benefit. And this one's so powerful. They obey him to completion. They obey him to completion. We saw that in Saul's life a couple nights ago. He went out, he destroyed the army, but he kept the king alive. He kept some of the goods for himself. He kept some of the goods for God. He partially obeyed him, and partial obedience is still disobedience. This idea of fearing the Lord, my question is, do you fear God? Do you have this fear of God that you love him and you worship him and you want him to be a part of your life, leading you and guiding you and speaking to you, knowing that when he speaks to you, you're going to listen and you're going to do what he says? Even in a world that makes it hard to do sometimes. We've been talking about this. And maybe you've prayed a prayer, or maybe you've confessed Christ and then you've raised your hand, or you stood up at a time or two, maybe this week, or maybe last year or the year before at your church. But do you obey him? Have you surrendered your life to the place where you listen and you hear and you do and you obey the words of God? The things in your life that you know are hurtful to him, or that cause him pain, or that cause him to not want you to do that, that you go, no, I'm not going to do those things. I'm going to seek hard after doing what God wants me to do. Not worrying about anybody else, but me and God and what he has for me. Obedience is such an important thing in a walk with God. Where are you at in your life? If you could look at let's take the last year. So you've been walking through it. If there was a little gauge you could take, would you say, man, I'm 50%? Well, you know what? I'm 100%. I've been fully obedient to God. Would it go lower than that? This isn't judgment. This is just a question for you to ask for yourself. Where do you fit on that? Have you been obedient? Have you been walking away from sin and going, I'm going to go towards God? The next one that I wrote down while looking at Saul's life, especially in these last passages of Scripture, chapter 16 through 26. I begin to see bitterness, jealousy, and unforgiveness versus really walking in freedom and forgiveness. Remember it said, and Saul sought him every day, but God did not give him into his hand. He was bitter that he'd lost the kingdom and that David was going to be anointed king. He was jealous that he was the one being shouted with praise, that David's killed his tens of thousands, Saul only his thousands. He began to get bitter and jealous, and he was losing the kingdom, and it was slipping away, and he began to lose his mind, and unforgiveness began to slip in. And we were watching, reading through the scriptures and going through the drama, and we're seeing that this bitterness and this jealousy and this unforgiveness began to ruin him. And as we can look at that, I just tell you that it's not just Saul that this kind of stuff begins to ruin. There are a lot of things we go through in life that cause us to be bitter or upset. There are things that happen to us. Maybe sometimes it's our siblings or people at school where all of a sudden we become jealous of things they have, of things they do, maybe how they look, maybe how cool they are in school, maybe how smart they are, maybe how many friends they have. And all of a sudden, even us, we can be bit by the bug of bitterness and jealousy. And there's another one. It's just unforgiveness. Somewhere right over here, you pointed out that we live in a broken world. You remembered that. Well, it's so true. And just give me your eyes for a minute. I want you to hear this. There are things that we have gone through, and many of you at the sound of my voice, that are not okay, that has caused pain, has caused you maybe to resent God a little bit, maybe resent people, has caused unforgiveness, whether physically or verbally things. And all of a sudden, we come to Christ, right? And it's like, forgive others if I've forgiven you. And it's just, something inside goes, no, I can't. Because you don't know what they said. You don't know what they did. You weren't there. This is my own personal thing. I'm not going to tell anybody, but you don't know. It's not as easy as that. And I think what happens is we believe that when God says, I've forgiven you and I want you to forgive others, we think that by us saying, okay, I'm going to forgive so-and-so, I'm going to forgive this situation, or I'm going to forgive those words, that means we have to say what you did, what you said, how you acted is okay. But that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is saying, it's not okay, it wasn't right, and I can't believe that it happened. I wish it never would have happened, but God, in your beauty, I want to surrender it to you and give it to you. Take it from me because it's destroying you. Because it's destroying you. Listen, listen. Let's save all of our claps till the end. Listen. Listen, some of you, this isn't for, but listen, there's some of you in here that are really struggling with this idea of unforgiveness. Let me tell you something. Not surrendering it to the Lord and allowing him to help you and love you and heal you and walk you through it. You know what unforgiveness is like? This is crazy. This is what unforgiveness is like. It's like drinking poison and hoping that someone else dies. Yeah. It's like, I'm not going to forgive. I'm not going to forgive because they don't deserve and what they did and da, da, da. And it doesn't even affect anybody else except for you. Tonight, I want to have an opportunity for some of you who have been struggling with really following God, with really surrendering your life to God. And it's because you have some serious unforgiveness. And this isn't a laughing matter. I'm serious. Tonight, I want you to know you don't forgive what they did, what they said. But you say, God, I don't want this to hurt me anymore. I don't want this to destroy me anymore. I want you to have it, and I want you to begin to heal me and help me. Some of you are going to grab a hold of this, and it's going to be powerful. How? How do I do that, Robbie? How do I get to a place where I surrender to God fully, where I cannot be bitter and I cannot all these different things? What is Saul thus far not doing in this story that's causing him to go crazy and chase after David? It's allowing the love, forgiveness, and mercy of Jesus Christ through his word to become so close to you, so real to you, that it shines through you. Too many times we're trying to do things in our own strength. Well, I can fix this, and I can be better at this, and I can be better at that. And all these things, we keep trying, and we keep trying, and we're trying to do. It's already been done. What Jesus did on the cross, we talked about 3 nights ago, was enough to set all of us free from sin, shame, abandonment, pain, anything you can imagine. But here, we still continue to do things in our own strength. Matter of fact, I'll never forget this. When it's illuminated to me, I was in, this is such a funny story. I was in college, and I had to pick a science. I didn't want to do biology. I didn't want to do chemistry. I didn't want to do all these crazy classes. So I picked astronomy. I figured if I get to look at the stars for a little while, that would be awesome because God made the stars, and they're cool. So this is what happens. I want to get a 4.0 grade point average. I am like serious in college. I'm like, dude, I'm not messing around. I am going to be as serious as you can be. I'm going to get a 4.0. And I get into astronomy and my professor is insane. My professor, are you ready for this?
Yes. Yeah.
He has his doctorate in the rings of Saturn. I didn't even know Saturn had rings. I didn't even know that was possible, but it's true. And I'll tell you this, the guy loved stars and space and planets more than anybody I'd ever experienced in my life. So I sit front row, boom, raise my hand, I ask questions, I'm engaged, I stay late and talk to him, we actually become best friends, buddies. I'm on my way to a straight A in that class, which is a part of my 4.0 journey. And here's what happens. Are you ready? Here's what happens. There are these two girls, amazing girls from China, coming to our junior college in Sacramento, Rockland, California at Sierra College, is where I was going to junior college. And they are sharp. They are brilliant and they are challenging my highest grade in the class. But I'm a very competitive guy. It's not going to happen. So we're going at it. Every couple of weeks, I'm like, hey, the grades, can you put the grades out? I just want to know what the grades are percentage-wise and what mine is compared to those two and how we're going to do it. And it's neck and neck forever, right? So the day comes and my teacher says, all right, guys, hey, we are going to go on a field trip. It's not mandatory, but it is extra credit. We're going to go up to Blue Canyon, which is a little place headed towards Tahoe, if you know where Tahoe's at. Blue Canyon, someone really loves Tahoe. And we're going to look at the stars, specifically that night. We're going to look at the moon, and I'm thinking, I don't have time for that. I don't want to do that. It's a Friday night. We're going to do that. There's a million plus one things I could do better than that. And he's like, so if anybody show of hands, and you know how to get the bus and the transportation, so whoever's going to go to get this extra credit, just go ahead and raise your hand. I'm like, oh, it's extra credit. I look over. Sure enough, both their hands go up. Guess who's going to extra credit time looking at the moon? This guy. So I get on the bus. We're heading up there. And I'm serious, like I'm telling jokes, I'm not taking it seriously. We get out, I start singing Stand By Me. When the moon that we look upon should tumble and fall. I'm singing stuff and I'm acting crazy. And no joke, we get there, we have partners, there's like a telescope, it's like sitting right here. I'm cracking jokes to the very last second, and I get over here, and all of a sudden I get down there and I pop my eye into the little telescope. All of a sudden, the moon is in the full picture of the telescope. I'm talking, I pop off this thing, and I'm like, you guys, I can see the moon. And they're like, yeah, it's the moon field trip at Blue Canyon. I'm like, no, man, but look, look, look. Are you guys looking at this? I can see every crevice. I can see volcanoes. I think I saw volcanoes. I mean, there was all this stuff on the moon, and I'm going nuts. And my teacher's like, he loves the moon. He loves the moon. Because he's like an astronomy nerd, you know? And he's going nuts. And I'm looking, and I'm blown away. And I go, look at this. It's beautiful. I go, it's so I go, the moon is my favorite planet, but it's not a planet. So it's my favorite moon. And then I realize it's the only moon I know. But I'm like, I love it anyway. It's my favorite moon, even though I don't know another moon, except for I think there's moons in Jupiter, but I barely knew about that at the time. And I'm like, this is what I say. Are you ready for this? Because I want you to grab this. I say to him, I go, the moon shines so bright. And he's like, and he wears glasses, and literally pocket protector, glasses, total astronomy teacher. Doctor, excuse me, doctor, rings of Saturn. Puts up his glasses, he goes, actually, Robbie, the moon doesn't shine. I'm like, I don't mean to question you, doctor, but are you looking? Because the moon is shining. He goes, Robbie, the moon doesn't shine, not 1 ounce. He says, when you look at the moon, all you're seeing is a reflection of the sun. Listen, 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 listen. We battle in this life so much with things that separate us from walking the life God wants us to, from causing us to have bitterness and to live in sin, and that causes us to not really be obedient to Christ, because we're trying to do things on our own, and we don't realize that if we do not get into this and seek God every day, get into his word, read this word so that his word begins to read us, and get to a place that we're praying and we're living and we're putting people around us in our circle that are building us up and pushing us towards God, not away from God, that we can do nothing on our own, but when we put ourselves in a place to be so close to Christ, that he'll begin to reflect and be a part of who we are and what we say and what we do. Some of us have been struggling for far too long to walk with God because we're not allowing him to be in and a part of every ounce of who we are. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard. With the pressures we have today. We've been talking about it every day and every morning and in our small groups. But God wants a relationship with you that you begin to spend so much time with him that his love and his mercy and his grace and his commands, they begin to illuminate through us and we can actually begin to have real freedom. See, some of you in this room tonight, you know God. You've been trying to follow God, but there are things that are continually causing you to be disobedient to God. Whether it's in your mind and your thoughts or your words, majority of the time it's in your actions. A lot of times if we walk into a church, we have our hands up and we're serving God, we know all the words, but if we were to go to school and talk to one of your friends that doesn't go to school and say, hey, what do you think about? They're like, do they even go to church? I didn't. And I'm not trying to shame or put anybody down tonight, but some of you have been wrestling with this for a long time. See, the last thing Saul dealt with was an unrepentant heart. And where there's not true repentance, you'll never experience freedom. You see, repentance isn't just saying, I'm sorry, David, you know, you could have killed me and you didn't. I love you. Come back and be my in my kingdom again. I won't do this again. And then 5 seconds later, chase him out of town and try to kill him again. Or let's say it a different way. Repentance isn't this idea of, or walk it, is this, you know, this idea of, hey, I'm just going to act really cool now and act like I'm godly, but then I'm going to go to school and act like a completely different person and then go back and forth. No, repentance is coming to God and saying, here I am. Lord, forgive me, I blew it, but I want to be more like you. Here's my whole heart. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to get so close to you that I can hear your voice when I begin to get tempted or I begin to have desires to do things that are not of you. And I can follow your ways rather than my own ways. Some in this room, maybe last year at camp, maybe a couple months ago in youth group, maybe a couple years ago at camp, maybe you're eighth graders now, and you came here when you were sixth graders, and you had a real moment with God. There have been things in your life that you've been keeping hidden and secret, not telling anybody, that have just been disobedient to God. And it's been weighing on you, and you've been feeling it. I want you to know tonight, there's going to be an opportunity to truly repent and say, God, I don't want to go that route anymore, run that road anymore. I want to follow you with my whole heart. I'm going to close with a story, and then we're going to pray. But there's a story in the New Testament that's just so beautiful to me. And if you're here tonight, and you're one of those that's going, man, Robbie, you're kind of talking to me. I've been struggling. I've been battling with this. No one really knows. This is kind of an issue I've had between me and God. And then I want you to listen carefully to the words of the story, and then we're going to pray. And God's going to meet you right where you are. I love the story because it says there was a woman who was caught in sin. And this level of sin, by the law, meant you would take giant stones. And everyone would gather around you, and they would take giant boulders you could barely lift, and they would throw them on you and kill you. I know that's morbid, but just bear with me. This is the Bible. And they bring her to him, knowing that she was going to have to be murdered for her actions. They said, Jesus, this is her sin. This is what she did by law. She needs to be stoned. What do you say? Sat there. They got stones in their hands. I wasn't there, but I can just imagine he's looking at her and he's looking at them. And he said, whichever one of you has no sin in your life, go ahead and throw the first stone. I can just imagine the sound of rocks dropping one at a time. Until not one person was surrounding her any longer, except for Jesus. Fun fact, Jesus is the only one standing there without sin that had any right to throw a stone. And this is what he says. He says, where are your accusers? If they don't condemn you, then nor do I. This is the part I want you to hear, though. This is the part. He looks her in the eyes and he says, now go and sin no more. No shame, no condemnation. He says, listen, I love you. I'm going to give my life for you. Go and sin no more. Because I don't want you to be in this brokenness anymore. I don't want you to be in this place where you're far from God and you're disobedient to who he is. I want you to know how much I love you. And then when you walk in my obedience, that's where you find freedom. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes tonight? Some of you tonight have been struggling in your walk with God. You've been trying so hard, but it just seems no matter how hard you try, you can't seem to stop doing the things that are disobedient to God, and it's been weighing on you. And you've been trying to cover it up. You've been trying to do the right thing, say the right thing. You've been trying to do where all you have to realize is that it's already been done. And then when you come before God and say, God, forgive me. I need you. Change me. I repent tonight. I want to know you. I want to be so close to you that you begin to shine through me and that I'm not just a hearer of your word, but I become a doer of your word. If that's you tonight, God is saying, listen, I love you. I don't condemn you. I just want you to repent and go and follow me with your whole heart, with no one looking around, with every head bowed and every eye closed. If that's you tonight, if you're saying, Robbie, would you include me? I've been struggling. I've been doing things that are disobedient to God that I just feel like are pushing me away from fully living the life that he has for me. And tonight, I want to boldly come clean and fully surrender my life and repent and get back on track to being obedient to God with no one looking around. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up all over this room really high? No one looking around. As high as you can, as high as you can. Yeah, yeah, as high as you can. If that's you, I'll wait. If you're going, man, my heart, I've been feeling this, it's been weighing on me, I've just been trying to hide it, I've been trying to live for myself, do my own thing, but tonight I wanna repent, and I wanna surrender to God, and I wanna live a life of obedience that shines for him. Real quick, and I'm gonna pray, would you slip your hand up if that's you and you want me, you haven't, and you wanna pray for you, slip your hand up all over this room, right there, right there, right there. Right there. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every single hand that is raised. God, that you love them. Father, you don't love them any less than you did before, but you just want them to live the life that you have for them, fully obedient to you, living for you. That, Father, they could have a relationship so close with you. Tonight, I don't know what the circumstances are, but I just thank you that you're forgiving, God. and that you're putting extending mercy, Lord. Oh, Father, right now I pray for those that's hands are raised that maybe is struggling with unforgiveness, and tonight that's why their hand is up, because they want to be able to forgive. That, Father, right now, Holy Spirit, you'd be wrapping your arms around them, showing them love and mercy. They're not forgiving the wrong, but they're giving the pain to you so that you can make it right. God, I pray for every hand raised that they'd be so close to you, God. So in love with you and your word. Father, you begin to shine through them. They can't do it on their own. All they need to do is spend time with you, and you will reflect right off them. And then the world will see, their friends will see, their families will see your love and your grace and your mercy. And I thank you for those who raise their hands tonight, that you are with them now, forgiving them, loving them, showing them mercy and grace as they repent tonight and put their hearts back in place and in line with you, God, and your ways, in obedience to you and who you are and what you have for them. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys are awesome.